Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
All right, what are we talking about, man?
We're gonna deep dive into Ferrari, a little P3.
Yeah, Dino.
And Dino.
Not a Dino Ferrari.
No,
Dino Martin.
Dino Martin, the man.
It's an interesting story. I think you guys will like it.
A couple thoughts on new Jeep Grand Cherokee as well.
First, we'll tell you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us? So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get it on. Got to get on. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. And welcome to CarCast. Matt Kroll. It's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, over
Hello.
There.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. It's a little chilly out. Not quite wear pants chilly, but it's still like shorts, but little
yeah,
chilly.
It's nice. Nice that it's not warm. I hate the heat. I grew up in the valley. I had no air. And most of the stuff I do, whether it's walking back and forth from studio to shop or in the car shop back there, you know, working with Sean or whatever, it's heat. It's nice when it's cool.
Also, cars run better.
I agree.
That's my thing. I was like, because you kind of want to get like something boosted, you know, like you want to run a turbo car, supercharged car, and like, ooh, let's see if it runs better when it's 60 degrees and cool and just a little bit of moisture in the air at sea level and just see if it actually runs a little better.
Thicken up that air. All right. So let's see. I was watching some Mecum auction last night on TV. Seemed like the there was an Eleanor that went for $250 or $350. I can't recall. There was the custom stuff was going, you know, selling. Still kind of tough if you get a, you know, 68 Mustang and you turn it into an Eleanor and you do the whole thing soup to nuts and it gets a $145 or something. I don't think you're walking away with a lot of cash in your pocket, especially if your time is worth something. But
well, you know, I have a line. I have a little inside track on a really nice Eleanor project that wasn't quite finished.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a few things to finish it, and it was offered to me for about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it, engine, driveline, suspension, body, paint, all done. It needs interior, and it needs some, some buttoning
up. Well, is it an Eleanor that's done by the officially licensed Eleanor, or is it somebody building Eleanors, and is there an officially? There is an official Eleanor, right?
Yes. That's a good question. So
we're talking Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yes. Yes.
Nick Cage, Eleanor.
So there was a licensed one. I think there probably still is a licensed one. Now, the guys, Classic Recreations, that do sort of a version of that, They make really good cars, and they do have a licensing agreement with Shelby, with the Shelby family.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Eleanor name. Somebody else may be doing those. I even thought out here, there was a dealer, I forgot the name of it now. There was like a dealer and Fusion. I think it was called Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
They were a dealer and a modification place, and they had a license on Eleanor stuff. So the one I'm talking about isn't licensed. It's a higher end hot rod builder, and a client came in to commission and be like, I'm a fan of the movie. I want an Eleanor car. Build me one. And then, of course, this builder was like, I can do it, but I'm going to do it the right way. And it's got a full custom chassis under it. It's got like a supercharged Roush crate engine or something, or it's got like a supercharged Coyote engine in it.
Mm-hmm.
Good, all the good stuff. It just needs a little bit of finishing. So I don't know. It depends on how crazy you go with the interior. You know, it's $100,000. Maybe you can finish it for 20. Maybe you can finish it for 50.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try to do that and then be like, maybe I'll just take it to Barrett Jackson and Scottsdale and see if I can get $210, $220 for it.
Yeah, well, that seems like a bet, you know, you could take.
It's not an officially licensed Eleanor, but it does have a pretty reputable builder name behind it. So you know you're going to get quality stuff.
Well, I was watching the Meekum thing, and they do that thing where they throw down to the chick, and she's in the paddock, and she like highlights a car.
Yeah.
And this chick was like 28, and she was like, and the next car is definitely on my bucket list. It's a car I've always wanted. It's a 1973 Chevelle. I'm like, that's your bucket list car? A Chevelle? Yeah. A Chevelle? You know, it's weird. Chevelles, I don't want to spread too much hate, but I know Chevelle's always been like a standard kind of quarter mile, kind of hot rod, cruise vanized, kind of mobile. Not sure if it's a great platform. I know people put big engines in it and they go fast in a straight line,
yeah,
but I've never really got the
car.
Chevelle.
Okay, was that the Matthew McConaughey, all right,
yeah,
all right?
Probably.
But probably not 73.
It, Chevelle, people liked saying the word Chevelle, yeah. I think is what it was, because I don't get the Chevelle. They seem big. They seem lumbering. They don't seem like they go around any corners. They're definitely a quarter mile car for sure, but I don't know. Aesthetically, not beautiful.
Aside from maybe drag racing, did the Chevelle come up anywhere in with like racing history? I mean, look, we go to auctions, we're seeing, you know, these, you know, Bud Moore, and you know, we're seeing the Mustangs and the Camaros and the Sunoco and the, you know, but I don't really see a lot of any, you know, occasionally, you know, Superbird, something cool like that. But there's nothing really in the Chevelle space, right? It was more of a Camaro thing.
I agree.
With the racing. Maybe it's a little lighter weight, a little earlier gen too.
Let's move on to a less depressing subject, which is Ferrari is said to be working on its own supercar inspired by the 330 P4 race car.
Yeah. So the spy photos are saying,
I've decided it's one of my favorite cars.
Yes. I mean, you could declare that now. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could dig up the spy photo for it, but it's, I believe it's based off of, like you said, the LaFerrari, which could have the V12 engine. I don't know if there's going to be a hybrid powertrain, but the V12.
So, you know, this is sort of akin to Porsche kind of reimagining the 935 a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Kind of street going, or is this a pure race version? I mean, is it going to be like the FXX?
I that's a good question. Is it going to be a track only car? Can it be registered on the street or not? We don't know that yet, but you can see it's got some swoopiness to it, and it's got that wing in the back. It's got kind of that 330 P4 kind of wing to it. It's obviously running on, you know, modern tires and center exhaust. So the question is, is it hybrid powertrain or not? But the V12 that they've had in some of their one-off cars, their limited edition cars, and the 812 Superfast, mm-hmm. the front engine long nose, mm-hmm. that's an 818 horsepower naturally aspirated V12.
Yeah, I think I think that's enough for this car. I think you got to go naturally aspirated.
Yeah.
I don't like the... You know, again, I don't like the Ford GT with the supercharged thing in it. I don't know why. It means something to me. I just feel like the original wasn't supercharged, wasn't turbocharged. Go with the original.
But what if this was the naturally aspirated V12 with a hybrid powertrain, like an electric motor on the front wheels?
Mm-hmm.
Or the electric motor. I think the LaFerrari had it all like on the transmission, and it created a boost.
The electric motor.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the LaFerrari had an electric motor.
I thought the LaFerrari.
Well, now Chris has to look it up. That doesn't ring a bell for me, but, you know, you're pretty good with this stuff.
Wasn't Enzo the naturally aspirated all motor, and LaFerrari was...
Now we'll look it up.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll...
My point is I don't like the electric motors. I don't like any turbocharge. I want naturally aspirated. Make it as light as you can with a V12 in it. And if you got that 808 horsepower one,
yeah,
so be it. Put it mid-engine.
I think so too, because you're right, because it's mid-engine. Like, you know, all the cars they've done with that engine are... You know, in the front.
Yeah, there was,
you know,
a great
mid base.
There was a great story, and I can't remember all the bells and whistles, but there was a 330 P4. See if this sounds familiar to you. That like ran Le Mans or something, and ran in Europe. And when it was done, it came out here, and I think LaFerrari has two electric motors.
Yeah, one provides boost to the V12 gasoline engine, and the other drives accessories.
Well, there drives accessories.
That sounds interesting.
Accessories. Is accessories air conditioning pump, or is accessories the transmission?
Not sure. Let me look.
Accessories. Interesting. All right.
And the total power output was 950. I don't know how much the engine was making specifically. It was up to that 800 range, but...
Well,
interesting.
There was an interesting story years ago about, I think it may have been Dean Martin's son, or somebody's son, got hold of a P4, and I think it was a yellow one, and like brought it back to the United States, and then did the full street conversion on it, like put some mufflers on it,
some turn signals.
Yeah. Like, well, let's try to figure it out. We're talking late 60s, early 70s, maybe early 70s. Le Mans, the early 70s Le Mans car would have, as per regulation, would have probably had to have, you know, had to have headlights, had to have taillights, had to have brake lights, you know, a spare tire maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe turn indicators, maybe a horn. Like, probably not a horn.
Does your 935 have like a stalk on the steering column? Does it turn signals?
I think it does have the stalk on there for some reason.
Not for
I gotta
wipers?
Go look. Maybe it's for wipers. Yeah, you'd have to have wipers, lights, and a spare tire. But you probably wouldn't have turn indicators. But I don't know if there was like, you know, they have wacky rules. Like yeah, you must yeah. be able to hold a picnic basket in the trunk or something, you know, like
yeah, right.
stuff you weren't going to use. But they still had these weird old grandfathered in rules. That's a good question. Another good question for you, Max Zapata, which is in Le Mans, would you have had to have, you had to have front lights, probably high beams, brake lights, tail lights. Would you need turn indicators?
Yeah, I don't.
I can't picture anything on the front of the car.
That's the thing that I'm thinking is even if it was integrated into the stock tail lights of some sort, because, mm-hmm. you know, because you got to use whatever factory OE tail lights or lenses right. or something, what would happen in the front?
And then, yeah, you're right. I don't think they had turn indicators.
I don't think so. But they would have
Dean Martin's son may have never put those on, I mean, either in 1971
well,
or whatever.
Or some temp version just to get the dot approval, just to get the inspection, right? That's why right. you got the big indicators on the front fender. And it's just like, it looks like a boat light.
So I think the story goes that he, like, sawed off the roof and made it into a targa or something. I mean, he just butchered the whole thing up because, you know, why wouldn't you? It's 1970, you're Dean Martin's son. And then at some point, you know, it's that same thing. You think it's the coolest thing ever to drive up and down Sunset Boulevard, but it's hot and it's overheating and,
yeah.
you know, it's
yeah.
louder and shit and blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, it got back to somebody who understood what the car was, and then that person in painstaking detail put it back to its, you know, Le Mans form. I don't know, Max Pat, you can look around. I don't know, was it Dean Martin's son? It was somebody, no, it could have been the son of like Robert Mitchum or something. Like it was one of those dudes from back then. I don't know. There was a story, I saw it chronicled on one of my TV shows of a Ferrari P4 yellow one that was brought here, modified to street, and then at some point somebody put it back.
Because they felt it was worth more as the Le Mans car. I mean, it's still arguably a Le Mans car. If that went across the auction block now in Monterey, and you said the Le Mans car was made to a street car, restored back to Le Mans car versus Le Mans car, this person famously turning it into a street car. It's still a Le Mans car. It is the car. What do you think pulls more money?
I think putting it back to Le Mans pulls more money because I think sort of original form always pulls more money. And, you know, the story, maybe if Steve McQueen did it, you'd leave it alone.
Right, because that's the thing. Is the story does do something to it.
Right. What was the story? And now we see the car. First off, the car is beautiful.
It's wacky. I mean, the stacked headlights and the weird scoop.
Well, maybe it's just me, but my favorite TV show growing up was Speed Racer.
And, yeah, okay.
And every single car that the Mach 5 did battle against on the track essentially looked like one of these
yeah.
330 P4 Ferraris. That was the shape. You know?
It looks wildly aerodynamic. Who knows if it was.
Right.
But it just, it looks wildly over dynamic. Just a crazy. This is one of the things we talked about that we miss from cars is just so much curve, so much
beautiful,
hip and
swoopy,
rounded,
yeah.
you know, just big hips for.
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead. Chris, read the description there and see how close I got.
All right, Dean Paul Martin's 1967 mm-hmm. Ferrari P3, also known.
Did you say 67?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Dean Paul, or they called him Dino Martin, son of singer actor Dean Martin, wanted something special. No Corvettes for him. Not even a garden variety production. Ferrari quite got the job done. So through Bodyman and restorer Lee Brown, he purchased an Ecurie Francorchamps Ferrari P3, then set Brown to work legalizing it.
Oh, it was a P3, not a P4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
The car needed a ton of body work, and the engine required lots of carb and ignition and cooling system reengineering.
That little Dino Martin, man, that's the let's not forget the great Jay Leno has his Lamborghini.
Yeah.
A Miura sitting at his shop. I think it's an S, you know, because he blew out the engine when he was driving it to school in high school. Imagine driving a Miura.
Yeah.
To high school. Going, I guess, as Jay says, going over one of the parking lot speed bumps, you know, put a hole in the oil pan, drained the oil out, seized the engine, and they gave it to Jay.
Just imagine being the 16, 17-year-old kid and like, bitching about it. Be like, it never runs right. It always overheats. It's so low to the ground. Come on, Dad. Let's get something
And Jay's
better.
Like... Jay's like, well, it costs more to rebuild the engine than the car was worth.
Yeah.
I think Dino Martin died because I think he was a Navy pilot or something and died during a training mission, by the way. But sorry, keep reading
because you're going to love the mods.
All right. So, a ton of body work and system reengineering to make the P3 even semi-tractable for street use. Here are the mods. An exhaust system using 4 glass pack mufflers.
Gotta go with the glass packs.
I was going to say
cherry
glass
bombs.
Packs. Yeah.
Glass packs.
They're fabbed up. And of course, a full complement of street spec lighting was added, as was a fully upholstered interior. By all accounts, Martin the Younger was a serious car guy and later purchased a used Porsche Turbo Carrera from Steve McQueen. He dabbled in racing but never went beyond amateur levels. Formerly married to champion figure skater Dorothy Hamill, Martin was killed in a plane crash in 1987.
Yeah, Navy training, I think. I'm married to Dorothy Hamill. She invented a haircut.
Yes.
That's her claim to fame.
Yeah.
So at some point, somebody got hold of the car and said, this thing's a P3. We got to put it back. It's funny, I was looking at the picture and you said 1967. I was like, oh, it seems too early for a P4.
Images? Is there a couple images or does that just go to different stuff? It's just different stuff. I was just curious if there's more shots of the car. I'm trying to figure out where they, you know, without zooming in, like how do they handle turn signals and things. Or was that the car brought back? Was that the car in the street?
Oh, the picture we're looking at is the finished product put back to life. The original product was all whacked up. So we were looking at the finished product with the meatballs and the whole. You were looking at. As it left the track.
I wonder, did he keep it kind of yellow with a meatball on it and just did all of the stuff, or did they
probably paint it candy apple red?
Candy apple to go with those glass packs.
Yeah. So
4 glass packs.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard to take that engine and get the decibels down on it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it that people don't realize when they're trying to quiet an engine is the intake. A lot of that is loud too. So as long you gotta get it coming out of the back, but you also have to get it sort of coming in.
Yeah, kind of have to baffle it. Like you can do an air cleaner, but you kind of need some, you know, like a lot of modern cars, it's kind of an air baffle, right? And there's there's in that plastic box, there's oftentimes weird tubing and kind of different shapes of plastic bulbs and stuff to as a sound baffle.
We're looking at another picture of that car in yellow without the meatballs, but is that how young Dino took it around the streets of L.A.?
You got to see the interior to know. If you can find...
I think there was some part of that where he did something with the Targa, too, but I don't know. I can't read that writing. It's too small for me. But we'll see. What's it say, Max?
He had it converted to the Spider configuration for road use.
The Spider configuration. I told you, he whacked the roof off the thing.
You probably couldn't get in it. It's probably too difficult to get in and out of.
Yeah, we're still looking at a different version of the car. It would be interesting to see what he ultimately did with it.
Yeah, how photographed was it? Was that car in it's street trim. More photographed when whoever put it back. Probably photographed it in street trim.
It must have ran Le Mans, Maxipat. I'm guessing. Now we're looking at a picture of it.
Oh, wait, is that with the roof cut out?
Yeah, the roof's been cut out.
How they did it.
I knew it was targa-sized. How would the pitch go with your dad about taking a Le Mans Ferrari and just exporting it back to L.A.? So you could have a good time in it.
I don't know. He hates everything I do.
Well, I think my dad would just be confused. I don't even know if he would say no.
Well, if it was his money.
So did it, notable history, originally painted in red, sold to Jacques Swanvier or whatever, repainted yellow, Daytona 24 Hours, Spa.
DNF at Daytona.
Right. Spa.
DNF there.
Right. Return to factory for rebuild after being crashed at Spa and then sold. And did it go on? Did it run Le Mans?
I guess not. Anything about Le Mans.
Yeah, I'm not seeing Le Mans. But some of these other races, first overall, second overall.
Mm-hmm. So it has European history.
Yeah.
Hill climbs and things like that. Interesting piece. Anyway, some collector got hold of it and worked it out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then restored back to its original spec.
Right.
When do you think that? Oh, sold.
That was probably
in 76.
That was probably down the line. It didn't get back into its original spec until 2000 or something like
that. Once the money started, the valuations really started to make a difference.
Yeah. Now, who the hell knows what that car's worth?
Well, okay. So now I would argue, because our original statement, do you restore it back or do you keep it the Dino car? Without Le Mans history, I think it's more unique as the Dino car. If you didn't put it back, if you left it the wacky spider, I think you have a P3 without Le Mans history, without significant racing history, but has a very, very unique, wacky Hollywood history.
Well, it has decent race history.
Yeah,
it doesn't have Le Mans history, but it has race history. It's not one of those backup cars that never got raced. It got raced.
It's DNFs.
Yeah, but you know, you showing up and bringing it to Daytona gives it race history. The point is you just have to picture it going across the blocks, mm-hmm. You know, Pebble Beach at Gooding, looking kind of funky 70s style.
Yeah,
I just don't think that's getting all the money.
I'd be curious to know, like, to see the detail shots of it in street trim to see how well was it done.
I'm sure it was decent. Probably had a, you know, Naugahyde tuck and roll on the inside. I mean, here's the whole point. You can put that car back to how it was because when it was finished with its racing career, it looked like a P3.
Yeah.
Then some Hollywood son got hold of it and put glass packs and everything else on it. I think you're totally justified to just put it back to what it was when it left the track. And I think with the Ferrari collectors,
yeah,
that's going to get all the money in the world.
Okay. It seems easy to put it back except for the hole in the roof.
Yeah, well, they're going to do everything. Let's see. Two wins, two second places were recorded. Blah, blah, blah. In the mid-1968, was sold and purchased by 18-year-old Dean Martin. Blah. And, however, upon arrival to Los Angeles, dock workers tried to move with a forklift truck and damaged the front of the bodywork. Was then taken back to Lee Martin's shop, Precision Auto Body, where it was repaired and converted into street use. The car and the conversion cost Martin Jr. about $30,000. So that's the price of the car as well. Now we got
the conversion was $4,000.
Yeah. Now we have to figure out what the hell that thing would go for today. If there's any of those pieces. Now it doesn't have Le Mans history, but
so
a P3, especially with the Ford v Ferrari movie, because they were racing a P3, weren't they? Against the P3.
Yeah.
And P. Blatton, who took the four wins in the Dino. He ended the season as champion, outscoring the Le Mans class winning Porsche 911T.
Hold on, you're saying Dino took the four wins.
Dino.
Oh, in the Dino, sorry.
Hold on. Dino is the name of Dean Martin's son.
Yeah, but it says in the Dino. That's weird. I don't know, it's a typo.
Well, the Dino, they had the model that came before was called a Dino. The Ferrari race car, I think, was a Dino. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was the open cockpit.
He drove the 412P along with his Dino.
Oh, okay.
So, he ended the season outscoring the Le Mans class winning Porsche 911T.
So that's kind of a weird statistic. They're saying it didn't compete Le Mans, but outside of Le Mans, it beat the car that was in Le Mans.
Well, also, if you look at a Ferrari Dino, 330 race car or 306 or 206 or whatever, it's called a Dino. You know, can you picture the car I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's also a Targa.
Right. Okay.
I wonder if Dino Martin went like, I got to make it look like the Dino Ferrari race car. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if it was a look thing. I think you cut the roof because you can't get in it.
Please do not insult us by showing a Dino Ferrari. Do not insult them.
You got to look up the 330
it's
Dino.
It's a Dino race car, Ferrari race car, maybe, I don't know if it's a 330. All right, do your best.
All right, let me tell you guys about Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's and renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy.
All right. So we'll see if we can figure that. There's the Dino race
car. There you go.
There you go.
So much better.
Is that a 206? What do I call that thing?
Yeah. It's a little small, but yeah.
206. That's a spider.
Wow. I'm not too bad. All right. Now, that is a Dino, and maybe he named that the Dino because that's a Targa.
Yeah, and then he named himself Dino.
Well, we have to find out.
18 years old, he bought that car.
18 goddamn years of age.
But also, what year did he buy it? 76 was when it got sold back. And so, what was $30,000 worth back in, whatever, 67 or 70 or...
Well, let's just put it to you this way. Hard to tell, but $30,000 in the later 60s, you could get yourself a decent ranch-style house in like Canoga Park or something out here. So it was minimum wage was $1.10 an hour, whatever it was. It was good. It was considered $211,000 according to.
Okay. That's an expensive car for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I would say.
$211,000 is an expensive.
I agree. So we got to figure out, Chris, what one of those may have. I've not seen one of those sell in a long time that I'm aware of. But what one of those traded for in the last few years at any of the major auctions?
Right, okay.
Because I don't think one of those won Le Mans because that was the era where the Ford GT won.
Yeah.
And then it went into the 917 Porsche era after the Ford GT era, pretty much. I don't think there's a Ferrari win in 69 or something. I don't think it was shoehorned in there. So you're not going to get, Le Mans wins, but you're going to get, you could get Le Mans history, not this car. But the movie Ford v Ferrari had one of those prominently displayed.
Well, look, if you're famously getting beat by the GT40s,
right?
That's part of the story. Right?
What do you think one like that might go for?
I haven't seen it come up, so it's a crazy. Crazy thought on what something like that would go for. I mean, Ferraris always do very well compared to anything else. Mm-hmm. And Le Mans history, even unsuccessful, And what was there, 30 something of those cars?
30, I have no idea.
I think there was like 38 or 33 total.
Of the P's?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you know? I've never thought
about
it.
I think it was just up on the...
And
roughly in one of the descriptions, it said something like that. I don't know what it is. $10 million.
Yeah. I'd have 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Minus any significant Le Mans.
Right. Because that's a game changer, as we know.
Yeah.
I think it's a $10 million.
Well, it was funny. We were talking about...
There you go.
Go ahead and read what it says, Max Banner.
Surviving 412P cars are worth approximately 10 to 15 million at auction.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We're both right, but I'm a little righter because you said 10 and I went 10 to 15 yeah. And it says 10 to 15 right. On there. That seems about right. But so good purchase for Dino at 30K.
Yeah.
But he probably sold it at significantly
less. You buy it in 1970 for 30K and then it sells in 1976, you've sold it for 28K.
Yes, I agree. The other thing I was looking at, just as long as we're talking about Le Mans price and stuff like that, we were trying to figure out the other day, we're kind of talking about the Porsche 956 versus the Porsche 962 or stuff like that, why, whatever. And we're talking about some of those, not really knowing what some of those Porsches were really worth. And there's a couple of Porsche 956s, which came after the 962, a little more aerodynamic. And some were brought at auction and didn't like sell. They thought they were going to get, I don't know, millions. They got 2 million high bid or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was looking it up just out of curiosity, and one did sell like 5 years ago, Gooding, a Rothmans one for $10 million plus because it won Le Mans overall.
Yeah, okay.
And so we've always said, you know, there's the price of the car, just sort of the base price of a 956.
And then what's the Le Mans factor?
Well, it seems to me that it's at least five times versus one that ran at Le Mans. Versus overall winner at Le Mans, you're going from 2 million to 10 million plus.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the story you're paying for.
I think the Le Mans factor, like what you're explaining, is it's a little bit more when it is a very prestigious marquee, Porsche, Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
I think the factor is definitely there, but maybe a little less. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not five times, but if it's, I don't know, Aston Martin or Nissan or something, maybe it's a little, it's a little less. But for Ferrari and Porsche, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you start with a big base, when you're starting with a $2 million base, getting to $10 million doesn't seem for some reason as crazy as, I don't know, a $100,000 car going for $1 million or $1.1 million
right.
Because of some, you know, that feels like it's a bigger...
Yeah,
jump, but that Le Mans factor is, I think, one of the most sustainable things. I read something else recently. I forgot who was talking. A notable investor. I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was like a Mark Cuban or something like that, but it was just somebody big in the investment realm going, you know, what's going on with the dollar, what's going on with investments, and what's going on with that world. And he was basically saying, he's like, art. He's like, cash is a mess and this and that. And he's like, look at art, look at the history of art. Like right now, it's the returns on these things are 14 to 17%. And I know he was specifically talking about, you know, art you hang on the wall, but this is what we've been saying the whole time, is something like a painting or an automobile with the right marquee or right artist or right story behind it, is it the better place to invest money?
I think it is.
It's certainly
days.
More fun. Right?
I agree. All right, let me tell you about our friends over at Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have. Why spend so much there? Why not go to rockauto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us? So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so let me bring up another subject here. Let's see. Jeep's got a Grand Cherokee update. Not interested. Although the Grand Cherokee looks pretty good these days.
And the new one looks pretty good. We're just getting into this era of, you know, small engines, hybrids, and, you know, it just...
I got to tell you, it is halcyon days for anyone who's looking for an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, SUVs, they had the Jeep Cherokee kind of first, second gen, whatever. And then they had, you know, Ford Explorer. And it was like, yeah, it was a truck that had a backseat and, you know, just pretty bare bones. There's a lot of offerings out there. I mean, it seems like every day I see an Explorer that's all done up, or I see a Jeep Cherokee, or I see the Hyundai or the Genesis or whatever. And I go, it's a good looking ride, man. Like,
It actually is pretty good. The Jeep Grand Cherokee, and there's a long wheelbase. Then they got their Wagoneer, the big one that's coming out. But Jeep is also trying to upmarket things. Like a lot of, like, how do you compete with a company like Genesis, which has some pretty nice stuff? Even the Kia Telluride is actually very nice, and that's the lower level one. But so they're always trying to upmarket these things. And the new Jeeps are nice. I mean, they look at it from what I've seen in the photos. I haven't seen it yet in person, but I don't know. It's just kind of interesting that, you know, you got to start offering more bang for the buck. Now, when everything costs $40,000 or more, it just can't be all plastic and big goofy door handles and shitty ride quality. And
you know, here's what I would say about it. As a guy who was at the IKEA in Burbank a few days ago or so, and a guy who's been in a Home Depot probably an average of 1.7 times a week for the last 25 years, probably. I would say this is a good comparison, but, you know, feel free to disagree. The Jeeps, the Cherokees, and the Explorers and stuff like that, they were sort of like Home Depot back in the day, like 20 years ago. You go to Home Depot, you go look for bathroom fixtures. You'd look for bathroom fixtures if you had an apartment and you were, you know, you owned an 8-unit building in Santa Monica and you had to replace, and the other. You certainly didn't do it if you're doing a nice remod or doing a custom home or doing something a little upper scale. You know, you wouldn't go there looking for tile. You wouldn't go there looking for flooring. You wouldn't go there looking for fixtures in the bathroom or the sink. It was all just pretty pedestrian shit. And the deal was go to Price Pfister or go to, Schneider Diamond up the street if you want to pay buku bucks and get some nice fixtures for your upscale bathroom remod. Right. But you don't get it at IKEA and you don't get it at Home Depot. But I was always like, it's still just metal and valves and, you know, tubing and casting. And and chrome finishes or maybe a nickel finish, why not just do it like the nicer shape stuff, you know? And you go to an IKEA now and go look through the sink spigots in the kitchen.
Yeah.
They got some nice stuff now. And it's the same. Now, I don't know that it's the exact same quality.
Right.
But it's the same aesthetic as the stuff I used to see at Schneider Diamond, the upscale, expensive, high-end plumbing place. Somebody, and at Home Depot, too. Like, somebody fucking figured out, like, why don't we just put some good shit in here, even if it's just repopped in China? It still looks the same. And it's going to work, you know?
Yeah.
Turn the handle, water will come out. And I feel like all these interiors and these SUVs and all the stuff we've been talking about over the years, I just feel like the lower end stuff, they just went, they did the same thing to Range Rover as, you know, Price Fist as the lower scale guys did with now repopping the nicer stuff. Like, it may not be quite as good, but it looks pretty good.
And then, to your point, brand name starts and to be the factor, right? So whereas a lot of the luxury manufacturers were making smaller, inexpensive cars to get some of that market share, and the Jeeps and the Fords of the world were making nicer quality cars to get into that upscale market. And the difference, you know, like what Jeep is able to do is say, hey, I've got a new Jeep Grand Cherokee. It starts at $37,000. You can get it up to $70,000, but it starts at $37,000. And what you get at $37,000 is nicer than what you would ever get before. That was kind of their thing. So I agree with you on that.
All right. Brea Improv, October 30th, doing two shows there. Rob Riggle's going to be with me on one of them, so you can come out. We're taping shows.
We're not going to tell you which one.
Yeah.
You got to go to both shows.
I got Baltimore, Philly, and Portland all coming up. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, and you can check out our Chassis Channel 687 on Pluto TV. We got Uppity running there and lots of other stuff. What do you got, Motorator?
Hi, you know, we're just driving some cars and testing some things. So just follow me at Motorator on social media.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.